I'm going to think the Lord is pleased with those numbers. I don't think so. Not because he's angry, not because he's disappointed, but because each individual is somebody he loves. Each individual is someone that he died for. And many of them have not yet responded simply because they don't know. It was in 1994. I was 6 months into the pastorate here at Abundant Life, 32 years old, and my administrator brought in a piece of paper that had our expenses on one side and our income on the other side. Our expenses far outweighed our income. And she said, "What are you going to do, Pastor?" And I looked over my shoulder to find out who my predecessor was, because he's the one who makes those decisions. We've only been doing this job for about 4 months. And she said, "You're the pastor. It's your decision." I looked down at the line of expenses, saw that PG&E needs to stay on. We got to have church. Need to have our utilities together. Need to pay our mortgage. Got to our salaries. Certainly couldn't cut our salaries. I found the line that said missionaries. At that time, we were giving all of our mission support out of the general fund. And it was only about $600 a month. And I looked at our missionaries, and we were giving $5 to one, $10 to another, very small amounts. And my logic kicked in and said, will they really miss $5? Will they really miss $10 this month? Certainly we can make that up in months to follow. So I struck a line through the missionaries. Made a couple of other adjustments and thought I had done a good job. The next week, after the service was over, I asked how our offerings were because I was concerned about our income. And she showed me the number. And it was as if someone had poked a hole in our offering bucket and it all drained out. It was one of the lowest offerings we'd ever had. And my concern rose significantly. The second week, I checked in once again. It was as if someone turned off a water faucet. There was nothing coming in. Horrible offering that next week. A third Sunday passed. Same scenario. We had 3 weeks in a row since I'd made my wonderful decision. And after 3 weeks, I finally decided to do the pastorally wise thing and pray about it. I went before the Lord and I said, "God, we need your help. What's going on here?" I prayed, and finally the Lord broke through with these words. "What'd you expect?" I don't know how God talks to you. God talks to me real clear sometimes. He said, "What'd you expect?" And what do you mean, what do I expect? He said, "You cut my heart." What do you mean I cut your heart? He said, "When you cut missions, you cut my heart. How do you expect me to bless your things when you cut the very thing that is dearest to me, reaching lost souls?" And it penetrated me to the very core. I went back to our board. We had a board meeting that weekend. I went to them and I confessed what I had done. In our discussion, we realized, well, if that's really God's heart, then why are we giving only $600 a month? Let's triple it. Now remember, our finances were in trouble already. It was definitely a faith step. So we're going to triple it, but we're not going to pull it out of the general fund. We're going to go to the people and we're going to ask for missions pledges. We did that. We had our first missions month in February of 1994. And you know what? We brought in $1,800 in missions pledges. We had tripled our missions giving and we saved the $600 in our general fund that we'd been paying out to missions. Church, last year in 2017, this congregation, which is a little bit larger than that one in 94, but we are giving over $20,000 a month in missions giving. Because that's God's heart. We do that because it's God's heart. Not so that we can say, "Look how much we do," or "Isn't it great?" Or we give because we don't want God to cut off our finances. We do it because God said, "That's where my heart is." In front of you are pledge cards that look like this. We've already had 2 Sundays of our pledging. At the end of today's service, we're going to fill these out on a final time, make our pledges for the next calendar year. But I want you to have that story and that picture and that heart of God in you as I welcome our guest speaker this morning. Gloria Young is Abundant Life Family. She doesn't get to come and speak here very often because she's based overseas. But Gloria and I met in the 1980s. She was the youth pastor in Daly City. I was the youth pastor right here. And there were a couple of other friends that we started hanging out together. And you know those kind of people where it doesn't matter how long it's been since you've seen each other. It doesn't matter how many conversations you've had in the last little while. When you see them, you're immediately in and it's like nothing ever changed. You know those people? Gloria is that person. That she walks in the door and it's, hey, and we picked up right where we left off, no matter how far it was. She's a dear, dear sister. She's traveled the world doing missions, most recently in Austria, and now just recently transitioned to Berlin, Germany. And she's going to tell you more about that. But there isn't a finer missionary and a finer woman of God that I know of that we support. So I'm so grateful and so glad to welcome my friend, my sister, and our guest this morning. Would you give Gloria Young a round of applause as she comes?
Good morning. I am so excited to be here with you guys today. As Pastor Greg said, it's been almost 40 years. We're dating ourselves. But the thing is, I like your thing. I like your thing. That song, what was on the video, we learned that in Sunday school. I'm going to let that little light shine. And your theme is Shine On. But today, I want to tell to you a little bit about the risk that goes with that. When people have Christ in their heart, there's a risk that goes with that shining on. So I hope everybody knows that. But I looked at those numbers of those countries. And in Austria, there's 3%. Out of 8 million something people, there's 3% of them are Christians. And when I saw those numbers with zero, it's going to take somebody that can take risks to go to those countries and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you know it, but in the last year or so, Montenegro received their first missionary, AG missionary, and they had a bombing there at the U.S. Embassy last week. And so it takes a person that's ready to shine, but it also takes risks. And I don't believe that they're going to leave the country just because they blew up something that was close to their house. And that's one of the things that I liked about the songs today. I don't have to be afraid because I know that he loves me. The chains are gone. I've been set free. And because of that, we need to understand God set us free for something, not just to sit in a church, but to take the church outside of the walls. And God does those things. And I talk about risk because I know what it takes. Because before I gave my life to the Lord, I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. Before I gave my life to the Lord, I would hang out with my dad. And my dad was a preacher that went on the streets of San Francisco, and he would preach on Powell and Market Street. How many of you guys know what Powell and Market Street is? At the cable car turnaround. And I loved this. Him and his friend, they would preach right there at the cable car turnaround. Why? Because there were tourists in line and he had a captive audience. And so he was able to share the gospel. And because he shared the gospel, there were things that happened. People would come and they would cuss him out. They would spit on him. They would do all kinds of things. But this one time, this guy came and he put a 6-inch blade right into his abdomen. And when we were at the hospital and he was coming out of the x-ray and going up to emergency surgery, I asked him, said, Dad, why did this man stab you? And he said, it was because I was preaching Jesus. You know, I grew up in church. So, you know, sometimes everything you hear in church, you know, was like a fairy tale to me. I had to go, had to be there. But when he said he was preaching Jesus, and that was the reason he got stabbed, in that elevator, I had an altar experience because everything that I had heard became reality that day. That fairy tale that I heard that Jesus was coming back and all that became a reality. I gave my life to Christ. The next day I made it public in church. But I realized also that there's a risk that comes with shining our lights out to people in the world. Not only that, God blesses. My dad, he did survive. That's what I want to tell you. He did survive. But the thing is, there is a risk that goes with that. For the last 10 years, I've been in Vienna, Austria, serving at a church called Vienna Christian Center. We have 13 different services a weekend. We have 9 different fellowships. Those churches have people in them that have come from all over the world. We have the international. We speak English in the international, but there's people from all over the world in there. Because Vienna, Austria is one of the locations for the United Nations. So people come from all over the world to work at the United Nations. I had a privilege of teaching a Bible study in the United Nations to women during their lunch hours. And the thing I liked about it was the fact that when they came in to learn about Christ, they learned, but because they worked on a contract, if their contract was up, they had to go back home to their own countries. And guess who they took with them? They took Christ. Oh, hallelujah. They took Christ with them. That's kind of, to me, I thought that was easy discipleship. Just teach them here and send them back out. They were shining. But this is the thing. At our church, the Austrians who speak German, ich spreche ein bisschen Deutsch, aber ich verstehe mehr Deutsch als ich spreche kann. I speak a little German, but I understand more than I can speak. We have the Filipino that speak Tagalog. Any Filipinos in the house? Kumustika. We have the Latinos that speak Spanish. We have the African English speaking fellowships. We have the French African speaking fellowship. We have the Ethiopians that speak Amharic. We have the Chinese that speak Mandarin. We have this one service that is set aside for people who, when they come and they accept Jesus Christ, it's a risk. And those people are the Iranians. They speak Farsi. They speak Farsi. And all the refugees, I'm sure you guys saw it, all the refugees that had come into Europe, we received about 1 million of them that came through. And a lot of them have come through, learned the language, and have given their lives to Christ. Amen. Even if they know it would cost them their lives, there's a risk to shining on. Our church loves to go out on the streets. And I love it too. So I was out one time and I was walking through a park. And I noticed something that just didn't seem right to me. There were ladies standing in between cars. And I was like, what are they doing? They were flagging down people. This was at night. Come to find out, these were the ladies who were prostitutes. Not only prostitutes, but there were ladies who had been trafficked into do prostitution. Promised a job, but the job was prostitution. Those ladies, we would go out and visit them from 10 o'clock at night till 1 o'clock in the morning. We would go out and build relationships with these ladies. I tell you, God moved on these ladies. They began to come. And I began to ask them if they wanted to come to church. This one lady from Nigeria, she took me up on that invitation. She came three times before she understood who Christ really was. She accepted him. She got baptized in water. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit. She learned the language of Germany. We helped her, a team of ladies, we helped her get her residence visa. She got a job right before I left. But you know what? The coolest thing about this young lady who used to be a prostitute is that today, probably today, in Vienna, Austria, in the African English Speaking Fellowship, she led worship. She is now the worship leader for that fellowship. You see how God works? God loves everybody. These ladies are outcasts. These ladies come from the poor parts of Europe. But you know what? This word is so powerful. So powerful. It can change lives. It transforms lives. These ladies come from Hungary, Moldova, Romania, Bulgaria, and they're in brothels now. They try to clean up the streets and they threw everybody in brothels. And so you're talking about a risk? When they put those people in brothels, I say, well, we have to go. We still have to go. So what our team did, we went and we began to knock on the door of the brothels. And the girls will open the door. And they said, what do you want? I said, we don't want anything. But we want to do is give you something. And so we would take them gifts. And we would build a relationship with them. And before you know it, the wall began to fall. This one lady. And I want to, you know, I want to take this time right now. If you guys are in part of the men, are you guys part of Light Up for the Lost? Are you guys part of that? I want to say to you, thank you very much, because your donations help us take Bibles into the brothels. There was a lady from Hungary. We didn't even know how to communicate, because I don't speak Hungarian and she doesn't speak German or English. But let me tell you, the cell phones, she had an app, a translation app, and I had a translation app on my cell phone. So we would take those apps. She would hers from Hungarian to English, and I went mine from English to Hungarian. And we were just showing each other. This is how we communicated, reading our apps. So I asked her if she wanted a Bible. She didn't know what it was. I said, don't worry, I'll get you one in your language. So I found someone who found a Bible in Hungarian, and I took it to her. And I gave it to her. And I could understand a little bit about John 3:16. So I just opened it up to John 3:16 and handed it to her. She read it. Do you know what she did? She took the Bible and hugged it. She loved it. Like instantly. How many people you know in the States take our Bibles? We just walk around hugging it. Not many. But I can tell you this. To shine on, there's risks. Every time we walk into a brothel, we don't know who's in there. We've gone in there where the pimps were in there. But God protects us. People say, oh my goodness, that's so dangerous. No, it's not the safest ministry in the world. But the song says, I don't have to be afraid because I know that he loves me. He got this. Whatever you're going through, he got it. That's our God. That's the God we serve. And I want to talk to you today about the risk that we're going to be able to take when I go to Berlin. It's because on the border of Germany and Poland, there are brothels. There's girls in there that Jesus loves. There's girls in there that God loves. Because he made them in his image. And because he made them in his image, he loves them. And they're worth rescuing, they're worth saving, they're worth taking the gospel to them. And so that's what we're going to do. I'll be working with a ministry called Pink Door Ministry. And we have a safe house already. So that will help them come in and we'll help transition them from their life of prostitution into a life of normalcy. It'll take a while, but that will happen. But I want to share with you today someone in the Bible that took a risk in order to shine on. So if you have your Bibles with you or your cell phones, turn to Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. In this portion of scripture, there is a lady that took risks, but she had a label attached to her name, and her name is Rahab. But every time you see her name in the Bible, it says Rahab the prostitute or Rahab the harlot. Now, people with labels, most people stay away from. Somebody might say, oh, there go John the drunk, or there goes Sally the gossiper. People don't want to hang around with that. But here we have Rahab the prostitute. Let's start with verse 1. Or verse 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shittim. Go look over the land, he said, especially Jericho. So they went and entered the house of the prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land. So the king of Jericho sent this message to Rahab. Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house because they have come to spy out the whole land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them. Verse 6, but she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out to pursue the spies on the road and lead them to the fords of the Jordan. And as the road that lay, excuse me, and as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Verse 8, before the spies lay down for the night, she went up on the roof and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given you this land and that great fear has fallen upon us so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. And 10, she says, we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt, we know what you had did in Sihon Og to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. Here it is. Why would she take such a risk? She had people that she didn't even know. Why would she do that? The question, I ask that question because sometimes we take a risk for people we don't know. We take a risk by sharing the gospel. And a lot of missionaries, we do share the gospel. And when we share the gospel, it is a risk. You're talking about shining on? Here in America, it's a little, it's okay. unless you do stuff like my dad. Well, he just put himself out there. But here, this lady took a risk to hide these guys. You know why? Let me tell you why. Because she said in verse 8, she said, I know that the Lord has given you this land. She spoke with confidence. She spoke with assurance because she knew that the God that they serve was the God in heaven above and the God of earth. She knew it. Something happened within her heart. When you hear the word of God, something happens in your heart. When we go to these ladies and we share the word of God with them, something happens within their hearts. Think about it. The day you gave your life to the Lord, did somebody share with you the word of God? And if you heard the word of God, something happened in your heart, or you would not be sitting here today. Rahab, something had happened to her. She had placed her trust in a God she didn't know. But she heard it. She said she heard it. And she said she heard a story of how God rescued. How he rescued the Israelites. How he opened up the Red Sea. Now, let me ask you this. How long were the Israelites lost in the wilderness? 40 years. 40 years. She heard a story. She put her life on the line. When she hid those spies, that was a treasonous act. She could have lost her life when the king came and she lied to the king to keep these guys safe, who she didn't know. You're talking about a risk? That's a risk. Here she is. She said, I heard a story. I heard a story about your God. How he opened up the Red Sea for you. And she held on to that story. I don't know how long she held on to that story, but I know she was not there 40 years ago to hear the story and to know the story. How did she hear it? Well, you know, some guys came through. And they probably were talking about it. There is risk. There is risk to shining the light of Jesus. You know what? She took a risk on a story that she heard. How many of you in this room know that you all have a story? Everybody in this room has a story. And we need to share that story. You may not know who's in the earshot of you sharing your story. I was sitting at a table one day, and I was talking to a lady, and I was sharing what God had done in my life. There was a guy at the other end of the table listening to the whole thing. And he came, he began to ask me questions about the God that saved my life. Each one of you in this room have been mandated to share your stories. How do I know that? Because the Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our what? Our testimonies. Those are our stories. Those are our stories. You need to tell your story. You need to share your story. And sometimes there's a risk. Like the people in Lebanon. If they share their story, what Jesus has done for them, that's a risk. We sit here today, and most of us, we don't mind sharing our story because nobody's going to chop off our heads. Nobody's going to rip our hearts out. But there are people who take a risk to share their stories of what Jesus has done for them. So Rahab the prostitute, she heard the story. Now, the thing I like about Rahab the prostitute is the fact that she was a businesswoman. She wasn't stupid. She was quite intelligent. Because we see in verse 12 how she set up a an oath with these guys. Said, okay, if I hide you, you got to take care of me. Because I know you guys are going to destroy this land. You need to watch over my family. And what did they tell them? They said to put a scarlet cord on the window. And we will not touch you when we come back to destroy Jericho. Because of what you did. She took a risk for these guys. And it's going to pay off. All of a sudden, this woman who did not know this Israeli's God, but here she is. She's taking a risk again. She's taking a risk for her family. All of a sudden, she becomes evangelistic. And you wonder why she wasn't with her family. She was an outcast. She was a prostitute. So apparently, they didn't want her around. But in her newfound God, she says, they're important. They're important. She became evangelistic. She thought about others. It wasn't just about her anymore. But it was about her father and her mother, a sister and brother, and everybody that belonged to them. God has put that in our hearts. It's not about us anymore. It's about others. So Rahab the prostitute, she became evangelistic. She was committed to what she heard. And the one thing, the other thing I like about it, she just wasn't committed to what she heard. She acted on her faith. She acted on her faith. And how do I know that? Look at verse 15. It says, so she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house that she lived was part of the city wall. It didn't say they let them down by rope. It said she let them down by a rope. Can you imagine this lady? I don't couldn't tell you how what size she was. But she was letting them down by rope. I know she probably was much smaller than the guy that she was letting down the rope. But she took a risk. And she let them down the rope. And thank God the rope didn't break. But because they got away. She acted upon her faith. And that's what God is asking us. Take a risk with that colleague at your job. You know that they don't serve the Lord. Take a risk and share. Take a risk with the student at school. Take a risk. Now, the school shooting that just happened in Florida, that was no more than a couple of miles from the house that I live in Florida. My heart grieved because one of the girls that got killed was one of the cousins of a girl that attends our church. And all I could think about is somebody shared their story with her. Take a risk because Jesus is coming back soon. We need to be ready. We need to share our story. We don't need to hold it back. We need to give it away. He gave his love away when Jesus hung on the cross for us. We need to give our faith away. We need to share our stories. A life of faith, I love it, but a life of faith is the most adventurous life you ever want to lead. Because when you know that nothing is impossible for Christ, you will take that leap of faith. But the thing I like about Rahab, with all of the stuff that she did, God takes ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things for him. And Rahab did that because she put her faith into action. And when you do that, things happen. God blesses you. in ways that you would never even imagine. Just like Pastor Greg talked about with the mission offering. He never expected that. But God knew if he acted on his faith, that God would triple the missions offering. I can tell you all kinds of stories. Since I've been back on this continent, God has done so many great things. I'm going to share just one. I went to the service and this lady asked me, she said, "So what do you need?" I said, "Oh, I don't need anything." You know, we just give them that general, "Oh, I don't need anything." And knowing that I had rented a car to go to the service, I was like, "Oh, no, I don't need anything." And she says, "What do you need?" I got a place to stay. I'm good. She asked me one more time. She said, "What do you need?" And I said, "You know, I did rent a car." I said, "I need a car." I said, "To be honest with you, I need a car." Not knowing what was going to happen. So she says, "Okay." She comes back. She hands me a check for $3,000. She said, "This should help you get a car." I had already saved some money, and I put that together. She says, "I'm going to do better than that. I'm going to tell you who to call, who to contact to get the car." It was her nephew. So I told him, "This is what I had." He shows me cars. I pick out a car. The man goes beyond what he needed to do. I didn't have to do anything. The guy registered the car. He was in Orlando. I'm in Fort Lauderdale. That's a 4-hour trip. He drives the car from Orlando all the way down to Fort Lauderdale and hands me the key. I didn't even have to go to the DMV. He did it all. This is our God. This is what he does. And he said, "All you have to do is take me to an auction. I'll buy a car for somebody that I'm supposed to buy a car, and I'll drive my way back." I said, "Okay." I love that. But these are the little things that God does for us when we take the risks and act upon our faith. So Rahab, how many of you guys like genealogies? Yeah, okay, I like that too, because I always like to know who came from. And a lot of you guys say, "Oh, you don't like genealogy." Come on, how many of you have bought the Ancestry.com? Okay, see, more hands. The genealogies is just that. It's an Ancestry.com. Let's look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, because I'm going to show you something about Rahab, because she acted on her faith. Rahab the prostitute, everybody knew her. But look at this. In verse 5, it says, "Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz, the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. And Jesse, the father of King David." Rahab was King David's great-great-grandmama. See what happened? She was obedient to God. She took a risk. She shared her faith. She ended up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. What a reward! Not only that, if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, and we call that the Hall of Faith. And you know what? All these bigwigs that we read about is in this book. By faith, Abraham, by faith, Moses, by faith, Joseph, by faith. And we get to Hebrews 11:31. It says, "By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she was well, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." She acted on her faith. And look what it ended up. And not only that, it is James chapter 2. It says, And the scripture was fulfilled. It says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. See, you have to act on your faith. You just can't have faith. You have to have the work to go along with it. And then it says, in the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in different directions? She ended up in the genealogy of Jesus. She ended up in the hall of faith in Hebrews with all the big guns who were faith, had faith. Rahab the prostitute ended up in the genealogy without the label. She ended up as Rahab, the mother of Boaz. She took a risk. And some Bible scholars say that her husband was probably one of the spies. She took a risk. So let me close by saying this. When we hear the word of God, the Father tells us that we can have confidence in using that word. And so when you want to shine, let your little light shine. Remember, there's a risk that goes along with that. God uses ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. Remember, we all have a story. Let's take a risk and share it. Amen? God bless you.
I got my mic.
I love that last part, Glo. I'd never thought of that before. When you step out for God, He changes your label. Maybe your label on yourself is your name and the cautious one. Your name and the I wish I could. Your name and I admire the ones who do. Your name and I used to do that. We label ourselves on our own minds. That's why we like movies and stories of superheroes, because they do stuff that we wish we could. That's why we like a lot of missionary stories. They tell us things that we wish we could or wish we would see. Why not us? Why not let God change our label this morning?